Amen. Well, it is a blessing to be here this evening. Just want to thank the church for allowing me to be here again this year to come preach here, and thank Pastor Jimenez for giving me the opportunity to be here. What I'm going to be preaching on here this evening, the title, I'm just going to tell you up front since I've already had some preachers tease me about it. The title is similar to what I preached on last year. In fact, what I'm preaching on here tonight is going forth to war. Now, if you remember what I preached last year, I preached on being numbered with those that go to war. And so this year, it's a little different sermon going a little different direction. And actually, it's going to play very well into what Brother Mejia just preached here tonight. In fact, look on down what the Bible has to say there. In fact, go back to chapter number 6. And we're going to start there in chapter number 6. And I just want to remind you that the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 6 as well, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the Bible tells us. And so there is a war going on in this world, and there is a war going on in this nation. In fact, I believe that what is withholding the judgment of God on this nation is this movement right here. Amen. That because we're preaching the truth, we're seeing people saved, we're doing what God's commanded us to do, that we are being the light to the world, we're the salt of the earth, that for a time at least, this nation may be preserved. But if we fall back from that and we become what the old IFB is today, you can guarantee that this nation will be destroyed. Now look down at what the Bible says in Judges chapter number 6, and look down at verse number 12. And the Bible says there in Judges chapter number 6 and verse number 12, the Bible says this right there. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Now stop reading there. We see there, first of all, that Gideon was a mighty man of valor. That's what God calls him here in the Word of God. And you know what? When we're thinking about going forth to war, there are some things that when you look at armies, when you look at troops out there in the world, that we can take and we can apply to the spiritual fight that we have going on. And for, of course, the first thing we're going to see here tonight is that we need some valiant leaders. We need some valiant preachers, mighty men of valor, to stand up and to preach the Word of God. We need men that are going to stand up against the old IFB, just like Brother Mejia just did, when the old IFB covers up all of those things, and when they're the ones that are standing for the pedophiles, we need to stand up for the victims. And you know what? Those victims out there need to know and understand that there are some preachers that are within the new IFB that are here to stand for you, that are here to stand for the victims, and we're not going to sweep those kinds of things under the rugs. In fact, I am sure that in a group this size, I am sure there are probably several people in this audience that might have been molested as a child and have gone through situations like that. And you know what? If they're listening out there on the internet, on YouTube tonight, you need to understand and you need to hear that you don't have to become like that reprobate. You don't have to go down that path of hating God, because you know what? I guarantee there are some people here that were molested as a child, but you know what? They're seeing people saved. They're leading people to the Lord. They've not gone down that route. They've not hated God. Instead, they've chose to actually love God and draw nearer to God. And you know what? Those preachers out there that might be listening to the YouTube tonight, and some of those closet new IFB preachers out there, need to hear this kind of preaching. That if you continue down that path, just like Brother Mejia just preached about, and you keep standing for the pedophile, for the perpetrator, instead of standing for the victim, your clothes are going to be stripped from you, and God is going to remove you. God is going to pronounce judgment upon you. And you know what? The new IFB is going to wage war against you. That if you're going to sit there and stand for that mess, there are preachers here tonight that will stand up. You know what? We need more preachers like them. We need a whole lot more of them. You know what? There are men sitting here that I know have the desire to preach, and I'm sure there are preachers out there, closet new IFBs out there, that are sitting by the sidelines listening to the preaching here tonight, thinking about whether they're going to join us or not. You know how I know that? Because Brother Mejia just told us last year he was listening. I could tell you the year before that, I was listening to the first Red Hot Preaching Conference. And you know what? When I saw this church, Verity Baptist Church, taking a stand against the homos and Pastor Anderson up here ripping on the news media in the back corner, you know what? That motivated me to stand up. That motivated me to speak out, to come out, and to preach the Word of God. And we need some valiant leaders. You see, every single army has a general, doesn't it? Amen. And you see, our general, the captain of the host, is Jesus Christ. Amen. But then within that army, then you have officers, don't you? You go on down throughout the ranks, and you've got other officers that are in charge of groups, in charge of divisions, in charge of legions, if you were in the Roman army. Or you go on down farther, and you've got the sergeant who's over the unit. We need some men that will stand up and be valiant for the Lord. Now take your Bibles, and let's go ahead and go to Exodus chapter number 18. Look at verse number 21. Let's see what kind of men these men ought to be. Exodus chapter number 18, and look down at verse number 21. See what the Bible has to say there. Exodus chapter number 18 and verse number 21. Go ahead and turn over there. I'm going to open this because I'm going to need this tonight. Exodus 18, verse number 21. The Bible says right there, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness." Oh, those hateful preachers, right? "Hating covetousness," the Bible says, "and place that and place such over them to be rulers of hundreds, rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter shall they judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." You know, a few things we see about these kinds of men that are going to be men that are leaders, that are the rulers of the people, is that they are men that, first of all, fear God. Amen. And you know what? They will stand up and preach the truth of the Word of God because they fear God. You know, when I look at these preachers out there, such as the ones that have been named, like a Jack Treiber and these others that have been mentioned here today, I know that those men do not fear God. Because if they feared God, they would be more afraid of what God is going to do unto them than all the other consequences that could happen out there in the world. You see, they're afraid of their independent Baptist buddies, right? They're afraid that they're going to lose their place of standing. They're afraid that they're going to lose their spots in their conferences that they preach, and they're going to lose tithing members, and they're going to lose all this stuff. They're afraid of men rather than being afraid of God. Right. You know why I stand up and preach the truth? Because I fear God. Because if I stand up in the pulpit and I don't preach what the Word of God says, I understand God is going to judge me. I understand God is going to bring His wrath upon me if I don't preach every word of God. If I add to it, if I take away from it, if I change what the Word of God says, then I understand that I have the judgment of God upon my life. And if I was going to stand up in the pulpit and I was going to be one that wouldn't preach every word of God, I would just step down. I would no longer pastor. I would no longer preach the Word of God rather than to stand up and to change what God's Word says. But you see, we've got all these preachers in the independent Baptist movement out there that don't fear God. But you know what? When we look around this room here, we see men that fear God. We see preachers, we see men and women that fear God, that have a love for God, and because of that, they're obeying God, preaching the Word of God, and standing up against the wickedness that is out there in the world. Look back at what the Bible said there in that verse, in Exodus chapter number 18 and verse number 21. The second thing there it said about them is it said they were men of what? Men of truth. That there are men that are about the Word of God. Hey, thy Word is truth. They're men that love the Word of God. They're men that are honest in their dealings and in their thoughts and in the things they do. They're men that love the Word of God. Look back at what the Bible says there. And it says that they hating covetousness. You know, if you're going to be a leader, you need to have that quality about you. If you desire to be a preacher one day, you need to hate covetousness. But if you just sit there and you desire all the things of the world, you're in the wrong group. If you desire all the things that are out there in the world, you want the big home, you want the big cars, you want all the fancy things that are out there in the world. Hey, Jesus Christ didn't have a place to lay his head. Jesus Christ said, let the dead bury their dead. The disciples, when they followed Christ, they left their nets behind and they straightway followed the Lord Jesus Christ and they left all behind. And you know what? There are some men out there that might want to be preachers one day. And if you want to be a preacher, you know what? You need to relocate to a new IFB church. You need to move to a church where you can get trained and where you can get sent out, because you know the majority of the old IFB churches out there, with your beliefs that you have, they're not going to send you out. They're not going to train you. You see, they would rather people go to hell than for you to be a preacher that preaches against Israel and preaches a different timing of the rapture. They'd rather people just go to hell than to send you out, even though you would lead thousands of people to the Lord. So you need to get to a church that's actually going to send you out. And you know what? That leads me to my next point. Go ahead and turn over there. Go back to Judges 6:34 and look at what the Bible says there. In Judges 6:34, and this is just a little bit of introduction as we get into this here tonight, and this kind of goes off of a little bit of what I preached last year, but look at what the Bible says in Judges 6 and verse number 34. And the Bible says right there, Judges 6, verse number 34, the Bible says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the fore, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Now let's stop reading there. First thing that we see there, when armies go to war, they have to mobilize. When armies go to war, they have to be gathered together, don't they? And so you know what? If you want to have an effect on this world, you want to do the greatest things for God that you can, you want to be amongst those that are doing the greatest works for God, then you need to get with them. You need to be gathered to them. We need to gather together. You need to get yourself to that new IFB church so that you can be trained, so that you can be sent out, so that we can see people saved in this world. And you know what? There are some old IFB preachers out there that are listening to us tonight. You need to be gathered to the people of God. Don't worry about that which is dead, the old IFB. Let the dead bury the dead. Don't worry about the old IFB and what they're doing and how they're going to criticize you when you come out. Hey, we've been there, done that. Amen. You know, you look at every single one of these preachers that are here. We've all lost those old friends that we had. We've lost all that support that we had back there in the old IFB. But you know what? I can promise you, God has blessed us for it. Amen. And in fact, in the last year of my life has been one of the greatest years of my life. And my church is leading more people to the Lord than it ever did before just in the last 6 months. I can testify that my church has led more people to the Lord than what my church had ever done in its 40 years of existence before that. Amen. You know why? Because they did not do any soul winning before that. There was no soul winning program going on. They might have had one or two people saved a year. Hey, you add that up. What's that equal to? If we were generous and gave them two people a year, how many does that add up to in 40 years? 80? I mean, think about that. And most of our churches are leading way more to the Lord than what these churches are doing out there. Just like Pastor Anderson said, we witness to more reprobates and sodomites on accident than they do on purpose. Now, look back down at what the Bible has to say. In fact, let's go ahead and move on. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11 and look at what the Bible has to say there. Hebrews chapter number 11. And look at the example that we have of some of the men in the Word of God. You know, a lot of Christians out there, they just want to stay where they're comfortable, don't they? You see, you just want, all of us preachers, I'm sure all these preachers get messages just like I do, telling us, hey, start a church here, start a church there, send people to this area, send people to that area, this area. Hey, why don't you come here? Why don't you get out from where you're comfortable and come somewhere where God wants you to be? And listen, he said this last week at Jacksonville, and I am convinced that there is a lot of persecution that's going on out there of people in our movement that God is allowing it to happen because God wants to get you out of your comfort zone and get you to a church like this where you can serve God better. Where you can be an asset to a church, where you can grow in the Word of God, where you can grow spiritually, but you're too comfortable where you're at. You don't want to leave the area where you grew up. You don't want to leave mom and dad behind. You don't want to leave your family and friends behind. You've got that church that you grew up in. You've got all your family and friends that are there in your local area where you grew up. Hey, why don't you move on and follow God? That's nothing new that God has not called His people to do for thousands of years. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11 and look down at verse number 8. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Notice this. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham didn't even know where he was going, but yet he followed God. God called him to go out. He didn't know the steps, but you know what? There are so many in the old IFB that are so confused about the will of God, right? In the old IFB, the will of God is something mysterious. I mean, in the old IFB, you've got to have a special call. God's got to speak to you in some way and lay something upon your heart. And so every time, you know, a missionary comes in the old IFB and they show their slideshow, you know, you get a burden for that place. And you think that God's called you to that place. And then the next thing you know, another missionary comes in and he shows a slideshow for Mexico. And the next one has a slideshow for Burma. And the next one has a slideshow for Israel. And we all know it has to be God's will for you to go there, right? And listen, they'll use the scriptures to try to say, so right to the Jew first is what they always say. But they forget that the Jew also has a wrath of God upon him to the uttermost, the Bible says. But you see, the will of God to them is something that's mysterious. You know what? The will of God doesn't have to be something that's mysterious to you. Right. Number one, first, obey that which you know is right. Obey what the Word of God says. Live a holy, separated life unto God. Your body as a living sacrifice, the Bible says, and be renewed in your mind to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you know what? If you'll do that which you know is right, that which you know is what God has told you to do in His Word, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you'll just follow God and follow what He's told you in His Word, hey, you know where that starts? That starts with you living righteously. That starts with you living holy. That starts with you obeying the Word of God. That starts with you soul winning. And then you know what? You need to get yourself to a church where you can grow. You need to be just like Abraham that went out when God called him to go somewhere else. It's no accident that you keep hearing all these preachers saying the same thing, saying that you need to move to a new IFB church so that you can do greater things for God. Look back at what the Bible has to say. In fact, go to Matthew chapter number 8 and look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter number 8 and look at verse number 19. The Bible says this. In Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 19, the Bible says, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. You know what? We need some valiant leaders who are ready to stand up, to follow Christ, and to leave some things behind. Because you know what? Satan has a copycat out there for everything God does, doesn't he? Satan has his copycats of the Word of God. And you know what? Satan has his copycat of the new IFB. You see, you've got the new IFB that is doing great things for God, seeing people saved. And you know what? There's another group out there that's also called the new IFB. Where's Brother McMurtry at? There you are. What's the guy's name? Josh Teague, right? Ties, Josh Ties. There's this effeminate, queer little sissy boy that is a leader in this so-called movement that's also called the new IFB. And what they do is they get together and they have this conference where they have these basically round table discussions, and they're just bouncing ideas off of each other. And basically they've become what the Southern Baptists are. And they become liberal, they become watered down. And when your leader is an effeminate little sissy that can't even hold his wrist straight, hey, I have no respect for you. Amen. You know, I would never ordain a man that can't even walk like a man, that can't even talk like a man, that can't even act like a man. You know, if you're going to be a man of valor, you need to learn how to smite with the hand and stomp with the foot and spit and yell and cry aloud and spare not. You need to learn how to be a man. Amen. But we've got a bunch of effeminate, skinny jean, pink shirt wearing, man bun preachers out there that don't know how to preach the Word of God. And you've got this queer, effeminate sissy that's a leader of this other so-called new IFB, and they're going the way of Cain. They're going the way of Balaam. They've sold out the Word of God, and they're going the way of the world. They're going the way that our forefathers came out of. You see, it was our forefathers in the independent Baptist world that years ago, when the Southern Baptists started going that route, they came out from them and they started doing right. They separated from them and they stood for the Word of God. Amen. But now we've got this other generation. By the way, they're a young generation, just like us. You see, they're younger men, they're younger preachers, they've seen what the old IFB is doing, and that the old IFB is dying, they know they got to change something. But instead of changing for good, instead of actually changing back to what the IFB used to be, they're going the other route of what the IFB came out of. You see, the IFB years ago came out of that liberal, ecumenical junk. You see, when Billy Graham started becoming ecumenical and preaching all of his heresy and joining up with the Catholics and joining up with the Presbyterians and everybody else, the old IFB, they separated from that man and they would preach against him. But now today you've got a bunch of independent Baptists that don't have the discernment to be able to tell you that Billy Graham's burning in hell. Amen. They can't tell you that Billy Graham's a false prophet, and their children, when they see us preach against them, what do? They criticize us. They say, who are you to criticize this great man of God that's led millions of people to the Lord? Listen, you study what Billy Graham preached all throughout his life, and what did he always preach? The entire time. Repent of your sins. And for him, it wasn't a matter of just having terminology wrong. He actually meant that you had to stop sinning in order to be saved. That's what he taught his entire life. So you tell me, with preaching like that, did he ever lead anybody to the Lord? No. He taught a works-based salvation, but it's amazing, on something that is the most basic salvation by grace through faith. Something that is basic, yet the independent Baptists today don't have the discernment to be able to tell that is wrong. And so because they don't have the discernment, now they follow these queer little sissy boys that don't know how to stand up and take a stand against the world. Now let's go back to the Word of God. In fact, go to Judges chapter number 7. Look at verse number 2 when you get over there. Judges chapter number 7. And look at verse number 2. Judges chapter number 7, verse number 2. The Bible says right there in Judges chapter 7 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Excuse me, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." Now listen, something we need to recognize when we go into battle and when we are granted victories is that it is God who gave us that victory. You know, within the last year, our movement has seen a lot of victories. We've had a lot of battles. We've fought a lot of wars. We've kicked out a lot of reprobates. We've kicked out a lot of heretics in the movement. And you know what? When we have victories, we need to recognize that that's of God. That is by the grace of God, lest we be like Israel and be vaunted up against God. We need to recognize that it's not our numbers that are giving us the victory. Hey, you look at our group and compare to the old IFB, they outnumber us by far. Now, we're growing, and yes, we're seeing lots of people come into this movement, but you know what? We don't have the victory because of the numbers. We have the victory because our God is greater than that which is in the world. And we need to make sure that we don't get lifted up with pride. And you know what? I would say that one of the dangers of this movement is men being lifted up with pride. You know, that's what we usually see with men that end up getting kicked out of our churches, is that it is usually a problem with pride. They're lifting themselves up. They're vaunting themselves up. They're esteeming themselves above everybody else. They desire, you know, other people's office. And so they desire to be in the place of Pastor Anderson. They desire to be in the place of Pastor Jimenez. They desire to be in the place of these other preachers out there, of Pastor Romero, of Adam Fannin, of Pastor Thompson. They want to be in the place of that preacher. And listen, when you have that desire, your heart is wicked. And let me just say this, if you are disqualified from being a preacher, from being a pastor, and you desire the office of a pastor, you're wicked. You know, and what do I mean by that? Well, if you've been divorced, you know, you don't qualify to be a pastor, do you? And yet if you sit there and decide that, hey, I want to be a pastor anyways, your heart is wicked. You need to get right with God because it is not the will of God. You know, that's something that Kent Hovind, last year tried to teach, right? When he married that other woman and he was divorced and remarried, then he comes out and tries to say that we've sought God and prayed to God and we know that this is the will of God. No, it's not. That's contrary to Scripture. That's contrary to Word of God. God would have never told you to do that. And you know what? We need to make sure that we don't become like those. We need to make sure that we also don't get lifted up with pride. Look back at what the Bible has to say in Judges chapter number 7. And let's go on down to verse number 5. Judges chapter number 7, verse number 5. Let's start looking at some of the troops here. And the Bible says in Judges chapter number 7 and verse number 5, "So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place." You know what we see about these troops here? That we need the right kind of troops. You see, these troops here, what is God basically telling them? You know, there's two kinds of people there, right? There's the ones that are bowing down when they go to the river and they're so thirsty, they're tired, they've been out in the field all day with Gideon, and so they go down to the river, and what do they start doing? Some of them start scooping up water and drinking water with their hand, and the other ones just stick their face and bury their face in the water, and they're drinking out of the water like a dog. And what does God say? Hey, let those people go home. Send those people home. You know why? Because you don't want troops that aren't vigilant. You don't want troops that aren't aware of what's going on. And if we're going to be an army for the Lord that's going to serve God, we need to be vigilant. Amen. Why do we need to be vigilant? Because there's an adversary that to devour us. Because Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know, he's trying to sneak into the churches, and he's trying to pick people off, and he's trying to devour people within our churches. And so we need to be vigilant. Not just the pastor, you need to learn to be vigilant. You need to learn to be aware of what's going on. In fact, take your Bibles, go to Psalms chapter number 83. Not Psalms 83, sorry, not there. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and go ahead and go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. That's where I want you to go. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and look on down at verse number 8. See what the Bible says there. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. And the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in faith. Now, what did the Bible just tell us there? That we need to be vigilant, that we need to be steadfast in what? In the faith. We need to be steadfast in the Word of God. We need to follow what the Bible tells us in the Word of God and be steadfast and strong in doctrine. We need to know the truth. We need to know the Word of God. And when we know the Word of God, we should not get lifted up in our pride. But you see, sometimes people get a little bit of knowledge, they gain a little bit of understanding, and they start getting lifted up in their pride, don't they? And you know what? This is something, I'll be honest with you, this is something that I have to keep my flesh in check every single day. Because something I have never struggled with in my life was a lack of confidence. Something that I've always had in my life was my flesh wants to be a little bit prideful. You know, in my flesh, you know, it's easy when you go from being a nobody preacher in Violet, Louisiana, right outside of New Orleans. Anybody want to go to New Orleans? I mean, listen, New Orleans is a place that, let's be honest, it's not that desirable for a Christian, is it? You know, it's not a place that you want to go to, but you know what? A nobody preacher in that area, and then when all of a sudden God just kind of exalts you and starts giving you places to go preach all around the country and even out of the country, it's easy to get lifted up in your pride. Right. It's easy to say, well, they want me to come preach because I'm a good speaker. Because I'm eloquent, right? Brother Mejia talked about that in the last sermon. It's easy to get lifted up in your pride and to sit there and say, well, I'm such a good preacher, that's why I get to go preach. That's why I preach at the Red Hot Preaching. That's why I preach at the Prophecy Conference. That's why I preach here and there and all over the place. But you know what you have to do? You have to put that flesh down. You have to put a knife to the throat of the man of appetite. And I have to daily put this man down. And instead of allowing myself to get lifted up with pride, you know what I have to do? I have to humble myself. And you know what? It humbles me when I realize that God has put me in a place to preach the Word of God. Because you know what I know about myself? I know about myself that I'm not a good speaker. I know about myself that I have a speech impediment that I work very hard to control. I mean, I know about myself that there are things and thorns that God has given in my flesh that are a pain to me, that trip me up, that can stop me and can make me fall. And it makes me recognize that any power I have whatsoever is not of myself because I'm not great. Any power that I have is of God. Any victory I have is not of myself, is not of my flesh, is not of my ability, is not of my power, but is of God. Amen. And we need to make sure that when we go forth to war, that we remember this. That when God exalts you, listen, some of you are young preachers. Some of you are going to the preaching classes and you're at men's preaching night and you're preaching the Word of God. Hey, don't get lifted up with pride just because you're preaching in that class. Let me tell you something. Just because you're in preaching class doesn't mean you're going to be a pastor one day. Just because you're going to some preaching class or preaching on men's preaching night does not mean that you're going to be a pastor someday. Don't get lifted up with pride. And if you do become a pastor someday, you know what? Don't allow yourself to be lifted up with pride. This is why a pastor, a qualification, is that he's not to be a novice. You know why? Lest he be what? Lifted up with pride. You know, we need to make sure that we watch out for that. You know what? Let's just diagnose ourselves here tonight, right? We rip on the old IFB all the time. And I've done some already here tonight. But let's just diagnose ourselves. Because you know what? It's better for us to judge ourselves than for God to have to judge us. And I would rather judge myself and get right with God than to have God pull out his paddle and spank me and chasten me and force me to get right and punish me in my life. I'd rather just do it myself. Amen. And you know what? Let's diagnose ourselves here tonight. Don't look at somebody else. Don't think about some other preacher. Think about yourself. Amen. Are you lifted up with pride? Are you allowing yourself and your flesh to get the better of you? I mean, you may have a natural ability for preaching. You might be a more natural preacher than I am. And you might think that about yourself. But I promise you, if you continue thinking that, you'll never get to this place. I promise you, you continue down that road, you'll never be exalted by God. Because the Bible tells us that in order to be exalted by God, you must humble yourself. You must make sure that you prefer others above yourselves. You know, the common theme you see about all these preachers and pastors here tonight is that they care about others. They give others the preeminence. They prefer others about themselves. You see, something you don't realize when you see your preacher is you don't realize that it's your preacher that gets that call in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. Something's gone wrong. Somebody's having some trouble. Somebody's passed away. Somebody's in the hospital. And it's not you who gets the phone call. It's your pastor that gets the phone call. It's your pastor that has to deal with that. It's your pastor who has to deal one-on-one with the false prophets and with people that are going against the church and trying to harm the church. And you know what? You need to give your pastor some grace. And don't sit there and be lifted up with pride thinking that you're greater than your preacher. Don't sit there and be lifted up with pride thinking that you're the greatest. Because if you do, you'll be the least in the kingdom of God. Look back at what the Bible has to say. In fact, let's go ahead and take our Bibles, go back to Judges chapter number 7. And look down at verse number 16. Judges chapter number 7 and verse number 16. And the Bible says right there in Judges chapter number 7. And verse number 16, the Bible says this, Judges chapter number 7, verse number 16. And the Bible says right there, Judges 7, verse number 16. The Bible says, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had put newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know what we see about these men here? That these were men who knew how to take some orders. These were men that fought how they had been taught to fight. And you know what? We desire that with our military today, right? I mean, any leader that is leading a military today, wouldn't they want a military that follows orders? Don't they want a military that fights how they've been trained to fight? And you know what? If we're going to be people that are fighting for the Lord, we need to be people that we are fighting according to how we've been taught. We don't need to come up with some new method when the Bible's already laid out the method for us. We don't need to come up with something else when God's already shown it to us. We don't need to come up with a new way of sowing in when we've already got a good way of sowing in that's been passed on down to us. Hey, the Romans Road has worked for generations. You don't need to come up with some new way of adding all kinds of newfangled things into your sowing in plan just to come up with something new. Hey, follow that which you've been taught. If you're a new Christian and you've just learned how to go sowing in, you need to follow how your preacher's taught you. You need to follow that probably for at least a year before you go on trying to come up with some other way to do so. Now, let's take our Bibles here and go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and look at verse number 33. Something about armies that fight, how they've been taught to fight, is those armies know how to keep rank. Look at what the Bible says here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and look at verse number 33. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse number 33. When you get there, let me get my fingers working. I'll join you right over there. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse number 33. Give me a moment to turn over there because I think there's another verse I want to read there as well. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse number 33. And look at what the Bible says. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could, notice this, keep rank. They were not of double heart. You know, those that are expert in the things of war, they're expert in the things of war, they know how to keep rank. And as the people of God, we need to learn how to do that as well. You know what it means to keep rank? You know, soldiers, when they march into war, and if you think about old time wars, when they're fighting with swords and spears and shields and bows and arrows, they're marching into war. They've got men on either side of them, and they're marching across the field into battle, and there's arrows that are being fired from the enemy that are striking people to the right of them, that are striking people to the left of them, but they know how to keep marching. They know how to fill in those gaps. You see, when the one to the right of them falls, they just know how to fill that in. When the one to the left of them falls, they know how to fill that in. Even in modern day militaries today, you know, militaries, they're cross-trained, right? You look at the soldiers, and every soldier, they know not only how to do their job, but they know how to do the job of the man next to them. You know why? Because the man next to him might have a more important job. Hey, that man that's firing that gun might be important, but the one who's even more important is the one on the radio that's calling in the air support. And so if the man with the radio gets hit and he goes down, you know what? That man who's sitting next to him has to pick up the radio and start calling in air support. Why? Because without air support, they die. Now, what's the spiritual application of that? That we need to learn how to keep rank, that when somebody to the right of us gets hit with the arrow of flat earth, we know how to fill in the ranks. Right. We know how to let that man fall by the wayside and leave the dead behind. Amen. And just join back together and close in the gaps and keep marching. Right. When the one to the left of you gets hit with the arrow of modalism and he falls by the wayside and he dies, let the dead bury the dead and you keep on moving. You keep on marching. You don't worry about that man that's fallen. You keep going forth into battle. Amen. You keep marching forward into the war, and you keep your eyes in front of you. Because if you don't and you turn back around and you face behind you, then you might get hit in the back. Then you just might get hit with an arrow. You know, that's exactly what we see, right? We see people that fall to the wayside with whether it's modalism or some other false doctrine, or they're kicked out of a church for sowing discord. And you'll see people out there that don't know how to keep rank. And instead of following what their leader has showed them, instead of following how they've been taught to go forth into war, they turn around, they want to help the dead. They turn around, they want to raise up the dead. They turn around, they have a bleeding heart for that guy that's been kicked out of the church. Let the dead bury the dead. Amen. Until they get right with God, they ought to be dead unto you. Amen. The Bible tells us and commands us, by the way, in the Word of God, in the book of 1 Corinthians, that if somebody's kicked out of the church, whether it's for covetousness or fornication or idolatry or the whole list that it gives there, that you ought not to even company with them. You ought not to even eat with them, the Bible says, because you know what? If you do, you might get hit by the same arrow they got hit with. Because you go trying to have a bleeding heart with that person, it won't be long, I promise you, they're trying to sway you over to their side. Right. Oh, it won't be long. They'll see you as a target. Yep. They'll see you as somebody that's weak in the faith. And the Bible has commanded us to be steadfast in the faith. And when your pastor has to kick somebody out of the church, and the church as a whole comes together and kicks somebody out, don't go against the will of God. Don't go against God's commandment. You keep rank. Amen. Somebody falls out and they might have been in a crucial position. They might have been in a position of power. You know what you need to do? You need to close in that gap. You need to step up. Amen. They might have been in a place, a position where they're taking care of things in the church, and now they've fallen by the side. You know what? The pastor might need somebody to do those jobs now. Amen. The pastor might need somebody to step up. And he might need somebody that's willing to do something. So you know what? You close up those ranks. And you continue marching forward into war. Because if you don't close up those holes, what happens to the army? You see, you keep marching forward. And the men get hit by the arrows. And they're falling by the wayside. And now you've got all these gaps in the military. You've got all these chinks in the army. All these holes all across the lines. And when the enemy crashes into your lines, that military is destroyed, isn't it? It won't be able to last long. You know why? Because they weren't marching in one accord. They weren't marching in unity. They weren't endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith. You know what? As preachers and as churches and as pastors within our churches, we need to keep unity within our ranks. We need to make sure that we all speak the same thing, like the Bible tells us. You need to make sure that you're following what you have been taught. Yes, you might disagree with your pastor on something. And listen, it's okay to disagree on minor things. But you know what? When it comes to the major doctrines of the Word of God, you need to recognize that your pastor is wiser than you. You need to recognize that your pastor's been serving God longer than you. He's been reading the Word of God longer than you. He's been studying it longer than you. He's been used of God longer than you have to see people saved for the Lord. So you know what? Just keep following what you have been taught and stay in rank. Because if you fall by the wayside, it'll be easy to be destroyed. And you know what? If this movement right here is destroyed one day, it will be because of ourselves. It will be because we stopped endeavoring to keep unity. It's because we allowed ourselves to get lifted up with pride. And it's because we stopped doing what we've been taught. You see, the old IFB, why have they been destroyed? Why are they being destroyed now? Because they've stopped doing what God has told them to do. And you know what? Now, many of them have become an enemy of God. And if they're an enemy of God, they're an enemy of mine. You know why? Because if you love the world, that is enmity with God, the Bible says. And you know what? Many of them are not gathering together, they're scattering abroad. Jesus said, if you gather not with me, you scatter abroad. And there are many churches out there that they're doing exactly that, and they're scattering abroad. Instead of gathering together, instead of soul winning, now they've come up with new ways. Instead of doing that which is the old path, and following what the Bible has said, you see, they've broken rank. And they've gone away that they've come up with and not followed that which they've been taught. And they're following new methods instead of following what the Bible has taught us. Hey, you look at the world, and you know what we do to the world? Doesn't make sense, does it? They would sit there and say, you can't build a church on hard preaching. They'd sit there and say, you can't preach that way against the sodomites. You can't preach that way against the pedophiles. You can't preach that way against old IFB. You can't rip and rail and scream. You can't do it that way. You can't sing the old hymns. You got to bring in the lights, and you got to start bringing in all the other worldly music and start doing it that way, because if you're going to grow, that's what you got to do. Well, look around now. Our movement's growing, and we're not just one church. We are many churches that are growing, and we're doing it the old-fashioned way. Amen. But let me warn you, if we stop, we will fail. If we stop following God, if we break rank, we will be destroyed just like the old IFB. Don't let us become so lifted up with pride that we don't think it could happen to us. If it happened to them, and if it happened to Christians before that, it could happen to us also if we broke rank and stopped following the way that God has laid out in the Word of God. You see, if we break rank, we will be destroyed just like those armies. Let's go back to the Word of God. One more thing to look at here tonight. Go back to Judges 7. Look at verse number 25. Judges chapter number 7. And look at verse number 25. The Bible says this. In Judges chapter number 7, in verse number 25, the Bible says right there, "And they took the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock. Oreb and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan." Now, what did they do there? They put the enemy to death. You know what? There are some people that need to be put to death. Pastor Anderson preached on those kinds of people yesterday, right? Amen. People that are trash that need to be put to death. People that are trash that need to be put out of churches. And you know what? What are some of those people? Well, we could look in the Bible and we could see all the false prophets in the Bible. And we could see that there are people that need to be put out, that need to be slain. In fact, go to Revelation chapter number 2 and look at verse number 1. Revelation chapter number 2 and look at verse number 1. See what the Bible says there? Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And the Bible says this in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says right there, Revelation 2 verse number 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." Now what had this church done? They had tried them which say they are apostles and are not. You know, we've got the same problem today with false prophets, right? Men that say they're apostles, men that say they're men of God, but yet they need to be tried. We need to find out if they're liars. And if we find them to be liars, we find them to be a false prophet, they ought to be put out from the church. We could look throughout the Word of God and we could see that there are those that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, and God tells the church that he has aught against them. Why? Because they have them there with them that have the doctrine of Balaam. You see, today, if we're going to be a church, if we're going to be a movement that is seeking after God, that's going forth to war, that's winning battles, and we need some Elijahs. We need some men that are putting the false prophets to death. We need some men that aren't afraid to stand up and to slay the false prophets, that aren't afraid just because they're outnumbered, to stand up and to speak up against them. We need men that are valiant, men that will keep rank, men that know how to fight, how they've been taught, and to stay in the old paths and to follow the Word of God. You see, we need men just like in Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, go there and let's finish there. And look at these people in Hebrews chapter number 11. And the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 32. The Bible says this right there, verse 32. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. You see, we need men like these. Men that did what these men did. Men that did what Gideon did. We need men like Phinehas. We need men like him that went into the tent and took a spear because he was zealous for the Lord and threw it through the stomach of that man and that woman that had brought fornication into the camp of Israel. He was zealous for the Lord, and God rewarded him. But you know what the old IFB would say today? He's a preacher of hate. Can't be like him. Can't be like the man that just wants to kill everybody. Can't be like Pastor Anderson, right? I mean, we just have so much hate because we want to slay. Hey, you know what? Before you can build up, you have to bring something down. You have to destroy something. You have to slay something. And if we're going to build a great movement for God, then you know what? We have to be willing to slay. We have to be willing to destroy. And you know what? You have to be willing to be that man that's valiant, that will stand up and speak the truth of the Word of God, that doesn't care about the repercussions. You see, all these men that we just read about, they've gone through more than what most of us have. I mean, anybody here been sawn asunder? Anybody here wandered about in goat skins and sheep skins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented? I mean, listen, they went through more than what we have, but yet the Bible says that the world was not worthy of them. They obtained a good report through faith. You know why we keep fighting the way we've been taught? Because of faith. You see, you might be tempted to say, I know better. You might be tempted to say, I know a better way. You might be tempted to say, well, logic says that there's a better way to do this. Oh, I know more than what my pastor does. You might be tempted to do that, but you know what you ought to do? Have faith in what God's told you. Amen. Follow what the Word of God says and be that man that's valiant, that will stand for the Word of God going forth to war. Because you know what? There's coming a time in this world, and it may come in our day and time, or it may come in our children's time, when there's going to be a time of tribulation such as was never before. That there'll never be a time of tribulation like it afterwards, and we need to be prepared for that. Don't tell me you're going to be able to withstand against the tribulation in that time period if you can't stand now against a little bit of ridicule. I mean, if you can't stand against the old IFB right now because they ridicule you for your preaching of what the Bible says because you believe sodomites should be put to death, how are you going to stand when the Antichrist gets here? When he's putting people to death? When he's causing people to take the mark of the beast? You know, if we're going to stand during that time, we're going to stand in the battle, then we need to learn the Word of God. Amen. We need to be trained. And we need to know our weapon. We notice there those that kept rank, they were experts in all instruments of war. You know something that's a weakness in the old IFB is many of them are experts in one area of the Bible. So you got somebody that's an expert in creation. They got somebody that's an expert in the King James Bible. They got somebody that's an expert in one topic or another topic. Hey, don't just be an expert in creation. Be an expert in the whole thing. Be an expert in the entire Word of God. Don't be a novice. Learn the entire book. And listen, that should not just be for the pastors. That should be for every single one of us. You see, if the army goes to war, and the only one who's an expert in all instruments of war is the general, that military's going to fail. That military's going to be destroyed. In order for that army to be able to have victory on the field, every single one of them has to be an expert. Every single one of them has to be well trained in the Word of God. And if we're going to endure through the persecution and be able to win battles, then you know what? Let's learn this book. Amen. Let's study it more this year than what we did in the last year. Amen. Let's read it more this year than what we did last year. Let's obey it more in our lives this year than what we did last year. Let's let it purge us more this year than what it did in the last. Let's end in a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us here tonight. for the great preaching that we've had all throughout the conference, for all the great things that have been said, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for all that you've done for us. I ask that you'd help us to be humble, to take your word, to study it, to receive it. And I ask that you'd be with the preaching and the preachers that'll come on after this, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.